Hey, it's Kristen. You're listening to Rational in Portland.
Welcome to Rational in Portland. I have Andy Chandler co-hosting in the studio today. Welcome, Andy. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Check out Andy's podcast, Northwest Fresh, and check out his podcast for the guest we have in our studio today for a previous episode, Juma Black. Juma, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The last time you were here, the first time we met, you were doing media for Terrence Hayes.
Correct.
City Council candidate Terrence Hayes.
Correct.
Yeah, that was a really fun session.
That was actually a fun time.
It was.
I learned a lot through that whole campaign. What it takes to actually build that image for someone that's campaigning, running for any position at that status. You know what I mean? It's not just how I'm normally used to putting content out, right? Like I put out content for hip hop artists. And then when you're dealing with a campaign like that, you have to be strategical about everything that you do. So I learned a whole lot.
They're all brands, I guess, right?
Right.
So what do you do? What did you do with, did you find yourself doing with Terrence that was different particularly?
The caption, the language in the captions, right? Learning how to connect with that demographic through those, through the language in the captions, and also making sure that the angles and everything is a science behind it for sure, you know, to really connect with that demographic.
And then do you do social media stuff too?
Yes.
So how do you determine whether it's working? Like, how do you determine engagement? Do you get stats, and is there any ability to find out who's watching?
Yes.
And yeah, where they're from, like what district are they in? Your district? Are they
right? A lot of it does come from, well, it's more mainly followers and non-followers. I wasn't able to break things down to district or anything like that, but just mainly things that you post and then the response that you get from that post. If people are writing comments, liking, things like that.
So with Terrence, what kind of stuff got the most engagement or posts?
The most engagement were when we were doing the corners, going up to the corners and the sign waving.
Really? Yeah. That was it, huh?
We got a lot of engagement.
But that was when he injured his ACL?
Yeah.
I mean, it was unusual because he had that cart, like a little cart or something that he was riding around on.
Right. A little scooter.
Yeah. And it was rainy.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was dedicated.
He was definitely dedicated. Yeah. I'm glad that got the most engagement. I mean, people liked that. They liked seeing how committed he was.
Yeah.
Why do you think it is that, why did he lose? What do you think that's about?
I believe it was more so recognition because he was right there. He lost by 400.
He was really close.
Yeah. He was extremely close to be fresh out the gate.
Hundreds of votes, probably.
Yeah, just a couple hundred votes, you know.
It seems like if he ran again, he'd have a easier time of it. With now he has name recognition. He has a brand.
Right.
He's still testifying at city council and...
Right. Still pushing.
He's super active still. Yeah.
Right.
Seems, from what I hear, seeing here. Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves his community.
Definitely.
So when we were off air, I know you do other kinds of engagement. Like you do a lot of community work.
Mm-hmm.
And you were telling me that the city of Tigard picked you to do a whole bunch of its, like more than one program, right?
Right. So how that came about is they have a festival called El Tigre Festival or El Tigre Fest. And I was there helping setting up the stage. And so in doing that, one of the people that was helping set up the stage actually worked for the city of Tigard, and he does music, Leandro. And he reached out to me. He seen, we were talking, and then he found out, you know what I'm saying, I do music and worked for Jammin' 107.5 and iHeartRadio and things like that. And so he's like, hey, man, we are looking to put together a Black History Month event this year. You know what I'm saying? Would you be willing to come aboard and help with that? And, you know what I'm saying? That was in October when we first started talking, and then everything kind of manifested from there. And then come Black History Month, we threw an event at the practice facility, which is a big hangar style basketball court. And we brought out 250 people. The biggest thing for me was when you had Black families that's lived out in Tigard came to me and was saying, I've been here for 20 years and I've never seen this many Black people in this area.
Wow.
And that was one of the things that stuck with me, you know?
Yeah. They just started these kind of programs, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you think, what made them figure out that they should engage Black community members? Do you think, do you know anything about that or how it started?
I think it's just the times that we're in. People are a lot more cognizant of what's going on. People want to make sure that they're covering all bases, you know what I mean? And not leaving any particular group out, you know?
It does seem like, I was thinking like maybe a lot of that focus is on Portland. A lot of these suburbs kind of get ignored for that. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And for me, that's one of the things that I wanted to highlight is that there are small pockets of spaces in the Portland metro area that gets ignored.
And there's going to be a lot of kids in those other pockets because people are raising families and they're living not necessarily within the city. They're living nearby.
Right. And those kids, they don't get the proper engagement with their culture. You know what I'm saying? And I've learned that firsthand. I went to Wilson my first 2 years of high school and sitting in those classes, sometimes being the only Black kid in the class, having nobody to relate to, nobody to talk to, you know what I mean? It was depressing.
Yeah, it's a more suburban high school.
Yeah.
So then where did you transfer?
I transferred to Jefferson after my first 2 years at Wilson.
You like that better? It was just probably more comfortable.
Yeah, it was definitely more comfortable. It was a culture shock for sure.
How did that happen? Why did you want to move schools?
Yes. Yes. It really took place because I noticed over the 2 years that I was there, when we played Jefferson, when we played Benson, when we played Grant, I would start.
And you do a lot of basketball events for Tigard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, they would start me. And then when we played some of the other schools like Cleveland, like Lincoln, things like that, then I would come off the bench or would barely play, you know? So that was one of the biggest things. And then just being one of the small population of Black kids that went to Wilson at the time, it was real depressing. So that was one of the major factors of why I transferred.
It sounds like such a Portland story. Portland, you know, the whitest big city in America kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So especially probably in suburban areas. So it was probably a big deal that you're helping engage populations in and outside of Portland.
Yeah.
Did you do any of this kind of community work in Portland?
Do I?
Yeah. Yes. Or did you? Yeah.
We do night sports once a month. At the Blazers Boys and Girls Club, and we bring in a number of different nonprofits, men helping men or dads helping dads. What else is there?
Yeah, because you're a dad, your son's here,
right?
Your wife, you're a family man, your wife's here,
right? Right.
How long have you guys been married?
4 years.
4 years, and you have how many children?
Five all together.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and what two?
Five kids.
Yeah, one between the two of us.
How do you do it?
And then it's...
You have... you do almost... Well, between you and Terrence, you guys do I can't think of that many people who do more things.
Yeah. No, you're a busy guy for sure. I was just thinking, are you still doing the free like DJ teaching stuff too? You doing that?
Yeah. That's a program.
Yes. Like I'm getting back into that.
For kids. Right? Yep. To yes. teach Great. Them how to.
Right.
I've seen that on your social media.
I had to switch locations. So once I get into another location, then that's going to be ramping
get going up. Again. Nice. Yep. Yeah. And I was going to ask you how did your, Black Friday stuff go? Because that was the last time I was on my show. I was talking to you. You're doing like a couple of releases for Black Friday.
Oh, that.
Give us a little context to that.
So.
Because you're always making.
I know we're jumping everywhere.
But it's all good.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it's all
That's
good.
One of the things I was going to ask.
It's a lot of stuff.
So that actually got put on the back burner.
Okay.
Because there were some songs that I wasn't able to get completed because they had features on them. Those features didn't come through in time. So I just had to put that project on the back burner. But I am.
That's going
to
be your latest album?
No, I'm actually just going to be releasing singles and videos. So April 15th, I'm dropping a video. It's called That's My Shh.
Nice.
Yeah, but.
Coming out
real.
Okay, that's my shit.
yeah, that's like.
The visuals to that is, it's super dope.
Nice.
My wife, she actually was the DOP on that one.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, so we work together a lot.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Who's more skilled between the two of you, would you say?
Well, he knows what the right answer is. Happy wife, happy life. He knows.
Well, all the stuff I see is fantastic. So, yeah
it's really good.
The thing is with the Black History Month event, the flyer was very popular. Everybody just, when they first seen it,
the design
and everything, it just attracted everybody. And she was behind all of that.
Graphics and things. So is this a company that you all run? And how do people find it? How do they hire you? It's up and coming.
As far as with
my wife and I,
we just been talking about doing short films, his and her.
I mean, you can do everything because you can do the branding, the graphics, that's a whole marketing team, marketing organization. And it seems like especially in Portland, you might know this better than I do, but it just seems like there aren't that many, if any, marketing companies that are geared towards things like hip hop music in Portland.
Or
geared towards Black culture or community events or diverse anything.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's
a handful. There is a handful, but that's just about it. Just a handful.
And you have, you have a pretty active Instagram that I just want to plug anybody can go to it. JUMABLAQ. And it's got your music on it, your community work on it. You're really good at updating your stories with whatever you're doing lately, which is a lot, which is always a lot. What do you have coming up in the works?
So right now we're working on Juneteenth. That's going to be June 14th at Cook Park. We got Trey Renee hosting it.
That's in Tigard.
In Tigard, yes, yes. Trey Renee is going to be hosting. The jeweler is going to be playing the music. Plant Boys PDX. We're going to have Plant Boys PDX out there, and it's more of a barbecue style. So we're going to be playing games like dominoes and spades.
Do people have to RSVP or anything, or do they just show up?
Just show up. Yeah, just show up.
And there'll be probably promotional stuff coming out on your account. And where else can people find you? You have a YouTube, right?
Yep, I do have YouTube. Everything is JUMABLAQ.
And people can, like, when you release your music, they'll find it on there. And I know you're on Spotify.
Apple Music.
Yeah.
Amazon, all of the good stuff.
I heard you on Annie's podcast, and that's part of how I got into your music.
Uh-huh.
Like, I really like it. It's
What's
really
one of your favorite songs?
The one about this. I mean, it's probably your most popular one. Is it? It's very accessible. Yeah.
With Cool Nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it
NUTZ?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know my stuff.
I think I messaged with Cool Nuts a little bit. I would love to have him on my show, but he's a legend in Portland for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah. I know. I was going to shout you out. Thanks for hooking up Pete Ivy. And I was going to say, I don't know if this is offensive to you, Kristen, but next time he comes on my show, I will smoke weed with him.
That's not offensive to me.
I wasn't smoking at the time, but right. I want him to come back and we'll do it.
Got you. I'll let him know.
So. I love Pete. I love Pete.
Yeah. So with Pete,
I love that you thought that would be offensive to me.
I kind of played the backdrop, but I actually manage Pete.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
So you manage artists mm-hmm. also?
Yep.
Also a talent manager. Yeah, you need, do you have a website that people can go to that just like lays all this out? And if not, we need to work on that.
I need to get one. Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Okay. So how many artists do you represent?
Right now, just Pete Ivy.
I mean, that probably takes up a lot of time, especially with all the other projects.
Yeah, Pete Ivy. But then my daughter actually just out of nowhere started making music. And so I haven't started managing her yet, but we're going to be getting in the studio actually tomorrow.
Wow.
Doing some work.
Do you have a recording studio?
Yes.
That you have set up that you just use?
Yes.
And is that in your house or do you rent it? So, or how does
so
it work?
The thing with that is it's called the Magic Closet Studio. Big mm-hmm. shout out to Ian Watts. We used to be right here next to Jake's place.
Yeah.
You know, the big house
yeah.
to the right of Jake's place. It looks like a house, but when you walked in, it was nothing but recording studio, mm-hmm. right? And some things took place.
I never
place.
Would have known that. That's so interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Super, super dope. So I think, what was it, 2017, we moved out of there. We moved out of there 2017. We was there for 12 years.
Wow.
I walked in there one day and never left. And so we moved from right here around the corner next to Jake's place out to Staten.
Okay.
State
wow. Oregon.
Yeah.
Almost near Salem.
Right outside of Salem.
Okay. Why Staten?
That's where my guy Ian moved his family to.
Oh, sure. So, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And everything's probably so much more affordable. Yeah. It's a nice little town.
No, it's super nice and quiet.
It's really quiet. It's like farmy still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does he like it?
Yeah, he's been there since going. We're 8 years now.
It's a long time. Yeah.
Very long time. It flew
probably
by.
A good place to have kids.
Yeah, it flew by because when we first started, we put everything, moved everything out there as far as the studio goes. It took us like 2-3 years.
Oh, I bet.
And then COVID hit. Once COVID hit, that's mm-hmm. when we were all able to, or both able to give time to the studio and just knock it out, get it finished.
And so you record there too then?
Yes.
And then that's where your daughter will record, like any artists that you're working with.
Yes.
That's where you'll bring them to record music. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is that where you recorded the stuff that's coming out in April?
Yes. So with me, all of my music I record at the Magic Closet.
And okay. Yeah. Okay. And do you produce it all too? Is that all you?
I'm working on producing now, but I do sound engineering. I do studio engineering.
And you DJ for hire because you just DJed my friend's a birthday party.
Yeah,
event.
She was like 8.
It was
she just turned.
It was 8, amazing. Yeah. I mean, I saw some of the pictures, and she said everybody said it was the best DJ they'd ever heard. Wow. Like, I mean, it would be, I guess, yeah, nice. But it's nice. So. I like people were like, that's better than my wedding or that.
Yeah,
I do weddings all the time.
I bet.
I love doing.
Isn't weddings. That like coming into season now? I talked to another friend who does weddings, and I'm always like,
oh, it totally.
It's like
is.
Spring, summer, yeah. right? Okay.
Yeah.
It's and busy. Do you got video stuff out there too at that studio, or is that music only? Like, do you have like?
Oh, that's music
okay.
only.
Okay.
Yeah, I do my video stuff just in my.
Because you do the actual like visual, mm-hmm. not just audio recording, because you had a video camera when you were here with Terrence.
Yeah,
just
video, yeah.
I do video.
God, that stuff, you guys could make that into a documentary, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to give you more things to do, but
Andrew,
somebody could make it, don't you think?
Yeah.
Because you've got it. I bet you have all that footage from Inception.
Mm-hmm.
From like the very, very beginning when most people didn't even know this guy and he wasn't on people's radar and stuff.
No, I came along kind of a little later on.
Well, when did you come along?
Oh, it was like in the middle,
I bet it was late
somewhere.
Enough. I bet it was late enough.
I got a lot of good stuff though.
I bet you did.
Got a lot of good stuff.
Cause I feel like his momentum, people caught on to him maybe too late, even though he was campaigning for a long time. But what was the best? What do you think is the best footage that you got from that campaign? Or most surprising thing that you captured or anything like that?
Oh, that's a good one. We had a lot of.
I mean, I'm sure there's hours of B-roll. Yeah.
I don't want to just throw nothing out there. I don't.
Save it for the documentary.
Yeah,
no,
like dude. Something good that nobody knows about yet. Yeah.
Well, you keep making me wonder, like, because I don't know. I don't think I asked you this when I was talking to you on my show, but would you ever run for any local office? You seem kind of fit for it. Like, yeah, you seem like you're into it.
I don't know. Yes. So I'm going through something right now where leveling up is right around the corner. And as far as it's basically sitting in the chair of a cog.
Okay.
And for me right now, it's one of those things where do you do it and just dedicate all your time to that, because it's going to take away from a lot of the stuff that I am doing.
You got to figure out where you want to put that time.
Yeah. So.
Well, it's exciting though, either way.
It's the first step towards something like what you're saying right now.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Did you like being involved in that? Because that was pretty different. That was the first time you got involved in politics, right?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Yes, I did like it. And that's why I played the backdrop so far. Like, a lot of people don't know me and Terrence's relationship. Mm-hmm. And I just kept it at his videographer, you know what I mean? Just so that I could be a fly on the wall and soak up everything that I could soak up and learn everything I could learn. Opposed to, you're...
His cousin.
Terrence's family. Mm-hmm.
You are cousins, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you just have like a natural leadership to you.
Mm-hmm.
That I wish I had.
I play point guard. I'm
there you go. Yeah. I can say I've been a point guard that long.
Yeah. A little bit of leadership skills there.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. No, totally. And you are really good at sort of disappearing. Like when you, people would probably said a lot of things in front of your camera that they maybe wouldn't have said if it was still center of their mind that they were being filmed. I'm sure that's true. Or just had more candid conversations, more real conversations. I'm sure. I forgot about it.
Did you?
Yeah. When you guys were here. Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, I think part of it was you just set up and then you kind of walked around and you just, or you just crouched yourself in one area or something. And he part of it is he was so comfortable with it by then too.
Right.
And the way he was acting, like there's no, you know, fourth wall or anything. I mean, it just makes everybody else comfortable.
Did I ever send you those pictures at all?
I don't think so. Uh-uh.
I'll get them to you.
I mean, I had such a good time. I'm sure they were great.
No, they were.
What was it like? You two are probably already close,
mm-hmm.
but then now you were like working together mm-hmm. in a much probably closer way than mm-hmm. you ever had before.
Right.
Did that go well? Was that complicated? Was it?
It was never complicated.
I think it would be hard to work with my family.
No, it was never complicated because neither one of us was looking to like kind of alpha the other.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like we both got a lot of respect for each other's position, you know, and for me, it was let me play my role.
Yeah.
And like you said, I just disappear in the backdrop and where do you need me at today? And, and things like that.
Had you done, so were you doing video, like music videos and things before that?
Yes.
So you'd already done videography and those kind of, it was just a different kind of videography.
Just a different kind of videography. I've directed a few different music videos. I've shot a full-on movie and everything like that. So,
what's the movie?
It's called Night Sprite.
Can we find any of this on your YouTube?
So right now with Night Sprite, we're looking to sell it to Netflix.
Wow.
So it's just...
Yeah, actually when... I don't know if you guys shoot on the same thing, but when Pete Ivey came over, his boy had you probably know exactly what I'm talking about, the Netflix approved S1H camera.
Right. Yep.
And I've shot on that for years and years. And it's like, I just knew immediately when he came in, I'm like, dude, that is gold.
That's the
like
real.
The gold camera.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like you can do it, and I hope that they take it because they like that what camera's that? Still pretty Talk expensive. About that.
What is the Netflix?
Netflix has like a list of approved cameras that they'll buy or make content on with, like that you have to use these approved
cameras. Oh, I see. Okay.
And so the one that I shot and the one that we're talking about is like, it's probably the cheapest one. It's still very expensive. It's like, I don't know, $5,000 or something. But yeah, a lot of people use it to make Netflix content because it's pretty accessible.
And then they just submit it.
Yeah. Or like, it just depends on the deal. Like, right. If you already have a distributor, they'll try to sell it to Netflix, or Netflix's own team will.
Do you have to buy the camera, or do they agree to like give it to you and for a period of time?
It could be either way.
Yeah,
it could just rent
the camera.
It just has to be one of those cameras that they specify.
So, have you worked with one? Is that what you worked with then? I guess mm-hmm. since you're.
So we work with Blackmagic cameras. Okay. The 4K and the 6K isn't. Netflix approves, but the Ursa it is, and that's the 12K. So we worked with
damn 12K.
Yeah,
that's nice.
We dropped it down.
Okay, no, I've never shot 12K. That's 12K, awesome.
But yeah,
that's so great. For people who have no idea what does that mean?
It's just insane high resolution.
So it sounds particularly harsh for middle aged women.
I think now they have like 16. I think they're up to like 16 now or something. Yeah.
I don't want anybody filming me in high resolution.
It's just one of those things, like even I remember in TV at KGW when they made the switch to HD.
Right. From 1080p.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. It went widescreen and all that stuff. And
yeah.
Everyone always says it is never going to look better than this. And then like 5 years later, it just gets way better and it's just going. So
is that true? Is it always just going to keep improving?
That's
and be sharper?
All I've seen in my life. Yeah.
But it's happening particularly fast now, right?
Yeah,
in a way that cheaper. It didn't before because yeah. the technology is cheaper. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Everybody has, or well, AI, you know, AI is taking over. Yeah. So a lot of times people are recording and then putting a touch of AI on it to make it look a little bit 3D animated, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Smooth it out.
Yeah.
And everyone's, all our phones are like 4K now. So it's just, it's everywhere, you know, like.
Does that, Andy, does that, well, both, I guess this is a question for both of you. Do you all, anytime there's an improvement on the, like, I know this is not pro or anything, but if there's an improvement on these cameras, like you have an Android or a
Pixel.
What do you have an iPhone? No, you have an Android.
No, iPhone. We can't do iPhone.
No, you can't. Like pros have Androids, right? Pros have Androids.
It's a preference.
Yeah, but that's why, right? Because you know.
Well, a lot of people.
You understand it.
Yeah. A lot of people like the iPhone cameras. I don't know.
I just wouldn't understand it.
I've never been on the Apple phone train.
I'm too dumb to understand it. But it, yeah, on these.
We do the Android for sure.
Yeah, you're pros. But like, so on these, are they improving their cameras at the same rate as they release new phones?
Could speak to that.
They're all kind of, I don't know. That's the reason I got this. The Pixels have for some years arguably been better than Apple, but Apple and I don't know, they're all comparable now to me. Like it's just.
But do you feel compelled to get a new device when they. Is it good? Are they tweaking it well enough?
I don't care enough because I look at the sensors and the lenses and these things are so crappy compared to like what we, the type of cameras we shoot on. So I just use this as for like casual stuff, you know, but I don't know. Some people do. So there's like all sorts of apps you can get for filmmaking on phones and stuff now. Yeah. I prefer not to because I have the real deal cameras.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I like my knobs and my dials and all that stuff. You know.
Yeah, most of us have never. Oh, you know what? I meant to tell you something. My youngest kid is doing this thing called BizTown. Do you remember this? Did you do this in PPS? It's called BizTown. They do it in late elementary school. So she's in fifth grade. And they go to a little mock place, you know, it's set up like a town. They're playing town and they get jobs and they have to interview for these jobs and they have to apply for them. And she got camera person.
Nice.
On a new
like a videographer or something.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. I mean, it's called camera person, I guess is what the job was called. Okay. And she had to interview for it and everything and like learn how to use their mock stuff, which I'm sure is garbage and all that stuff. But she's doing that today. And she was, I'm
Oh, wow.
I meant to tell you that a long time ago. I promised her I would tell you that today.
Well, that's cool.
And I'll have to tell her that that I told Juma too, since she saw. I don't remember if they were here when you guys were here.
They were here.
Yep. So she saw Juma with his camera. It was really impressive.
I mean, nerding out on the camera.
Yeah, it's just anyway. That's her job.
It's one of the reasons I like why you do like teaching kids DJ stuff and all the creative stuff, because I feel like the more kids get into that,
totally. They're geared for it now, right?
Well, and it's something kids can still do with their hands. I feel like there's so much stuff that's just on the screen.
Right.
At least the camera stuff and being creative is like you can, you know, like there's some tactile, like this board, soundboard and stuff. Like you can do something with your hands to some degree.
Tell us about that program.
The DJing program?
Yeah. Like how do kids get involved with it?
Oh, with me.
Mm-hmm. Like the DJ program that you work on with teaching kids how to do things.
So I work with Serato.
How do you spell that?
I'm not.
I'll find it. It's a software, right?
Right. Or a DJ software, I think.
Yeah, it's.
Do they sponsor this or put this on? Or
no.
Okay.
Yeah, this is me.
This is something you created just yourself?
Yes.
How do people find out about it and get involved?
You're talking about Serato?
I'm sorry. I'm talking about the class.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was working with at the time, Ben Andrews out in Gresham. We had a facility out there that I will utilize, a community facility that I will utilize out there. And so that's how I was doing a lot of things.
Do you still do that?
I do, but I don't. I'm not in that facility.
Okay.
Yeah. So you said he's
looking
moving.
For a new, looking for a new facility.
Okay.
But Ben Andrews has six different preschools.
Oh wow!
That he owns.
Wow.
So that's the kind of students and kids and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. What is it called? I can't remember.
I'll find it on your Instagram because it was like really.
The wooden fish.
Yeah.
It was really cute. The stuff that you were. I mean, it's really sweet. They get so excited about it.
Yeah. I see. I don't know. I could be totally wrong, but I see it as a way to. Because, like, are your kids on the screen all the time? That seems like a good detraction.
They all are.
She's like, yeah.
I mean, it's addictive.
It's a battle.
YouTube short.
It's their way of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how they learn everything. Like, my oldest is into nails now. Because I won't, you know, pay for her to, and I won't drive her there. She doesn't have a driver's license yet to get her nails done. And so she just bought a babysat until she could buy all this stuff on Amazon. And she just watches YouTube videos. They use that to do everything.
Yeah. I was thinking, I guess maybe for us, it's like the equivalent of like TV maybe growing, but I don't know.
No, it's so much better.
I know you can do a lot more, but even like, I would probably be kicking and screaming if my mom was like, you can't watch TV.
Oh, yeah. No, I love TV. And I don't think it screwed any of us up. I really don't. I mean, we're all functional and like, I'm old enough that there were like Donahue and Oprah episodes about TV rots kids' brains or makes them violent.
Yeah.
Cartoons make people violent or something.
Really worried about. Yeah.
It's crazy to think
about.
It's
so tame now to think.
It's so clean. Yeah. So Juma, I know on Annie's podcast, you talked a little bit about your growing up but for people who haven't heard, I mean, I want people to go listen to that and watch it, but for people who haven't heard that, can you talk a little bit just about your background and what that was like?
Coming up was, it was rough. We moved a whole lot. So I've lived every corner of Portland, Gladstone, Vancouver, North Portland, Southeast Portland, Southwest Portland. Been homeless. I called it the YMCA.
Yeah.
Time.
I knew what you were talking
about.
It's the
Salvation Army.
I knew exactly what you were, 'cause it's right over the bridge.
Yep. It's the Salvation
Army. And it's still there.
Yeah, it's still there. Yeah. Right across the street from X Bar now. Mm-hmm. You know, what is that first and or second in Burns High.
It's also right by, what's the other one? The Mission. There's a bunch of
Government.
Union Gospel.
Union Gospel, yeah.
Yeah.
With your family or by yourself?
So with my mom and my sister, And yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's terrible. Are you comfortable talking about your sister?
Yeah.
Like how is she doing? How's your mom doing?
My sister lives in Atlanta, Georgia. She has a very successful hair business. She does hair, and she turned her house into a whole. It's a business. Like each room has its own theme. She works with a lot of kids. Works with a lot of older women, older adults, making sure that their hair is done and cared for and things like that.
Do you ever talk to her and just, do the two of you ever acknowledge to each other, like, wow, like, look at what we did.
Yeah, all the time.
Like, we're okay.
Mm-hmm. We just spoke, I want to say 2 days ago, about that same thing. So, yeah. Yeah. We continue to support each other and from a distance.
You know? Yeah. Is your mom still around?
Yeah. My mom's still around, still kicking. She, matter of fact, she just pulled up on us yesterday.
Pulled up on us. I love how you said that. And how is she doing?
She's good. I mean,
how life is she life. Able to pull right. out of that?
To my mom?
Yeah.
Life is life. You just got to do what you got to do, right? So she's a strong woman. She did what she had to do. And again, we're here, you know?
Did you think about that period of life at all when you were working with Terrence? Because one of his issues was the homeless crisis.
Right.
And just like, displaced families and all of it.
Right. I'm sure I did for a period of time, but.
I mean, does that inform your thoughts about that? Like, let's say you're a candidate or that's something you're interested in. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you think would inform your policies or your thoughts about those issues? I mean, it must.
Yeah. 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 Homelessness is tough. You know what I mean? But there are a number of different reasons why people are homeless too.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I feel like we care so much that there's some people out there that truly want to be homeless. Like they don't want to pay rent. They don't want to pay mortgage. They want to live on the street and be free.
Why do you think that is?
Freedom.
Uh-huh.
Freedom.
No responsibility.
No responsibilities. Yeah. Like I've seen people in beautiful cars, right? Pull up to a tent and just be perfectly fine. Like
they got the great whip.
Yeah.
Living in the tent.
Living in the tent. Yeah. Love their car, right? Mm-hmm. All I gotta pay is my insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that from a few people on the street of like, I'm able to live freely now because I don't have all these bills and right. that type of thing. It is wild. It's wild to think about. Yeah. I was wondering that too, though, and I guess it's fine if you don't want to say that, but I was curious, like, what do you think about how Keith, our mayor in Portland, is doing with, like, do you see any changes yet with homelessness that...
I do see downtown is clearing up a lot as of lately. I remember it was one point in time we was doing shows at Kelly's Olympian.
Oh, yeah.
Me and my wife would be walking past the little corner store right there and it's somebody that's overdosing mm-hmm. right there. Ambulance would pull up, take them, and
yeah.
2 hours later it's another guy or gal out there ODing again. Mm-hmm. You know, it was zombie land right there. That's pretty much cleaned up now. I think the rollback of the drugs mm-hmm. as far as decriminalizing those.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like
recriminalization. Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
That plays a big part of what's going on downtown too. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Terrence Hayes is pretty candid about his family. And struggles with addiction. And
right.
did that touch your family?
Addiction?
Yeah.
A couple of different ways, not just through alcohol or drugs, but gambling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really big in my family.
It's big in mine too. Yeah. Somehow, God, I think that would be one of the worst ones. Mm-hmm. I really gambling? Do. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the financial toll is
right.
insane.
Well, like, yeah, my uncle like is a really successful auto mechanic, you know, and made a lot of money. I mean, when I was growing up, he was an alcoholic and he had some terrible car crashes and almost killed himself and it was very bad and other people. And then he figured it out. He got into it was something like that. It was like a crash and he was jailed. And then he figured it out and he sobered up and he got into a program, but what he replaced it with was gambling. Like he just needs that. Mm-hmm. It's like an adrenaline junkie or whatever, or a dopamine junkie, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. And he needs that infusion of excitement. And he can't, it's so hard to watch. Like it's, the last time we were with him, I mean, it was, my kids were little and we were just like kind of out and about doing fun things, but everywhere we were, he was looking for like a lotto thing or like a Keno thing or like a pull tabs or whatever, just anything he could put right. some money in, literally anything.
Yeah.
Or just like, can we drive somewhere so I can do this? Like it was super compulsive. And he lost his marriage. He lost his everything. He lost his family. I mean, it's just, he's living in this tiny apartment. My aunt pays for it. I mean, I think he spends literally every dime he makes gambling, and she pays his phone bill. And he's not a mechanic who's really good at his job, who doesn't drive. You know, because that's gone too.
Yeah.
Like it's, I've never seen, it's so, I don't know. I've just, it seems like it would be really rough, like really hard to, because it's everywhere. Like, I guess if you're drinking, okay, well, let's avoid a bar or let's just, you're telling your social group like, hey, I'm not drinking. I'm not. And people are generally supportive, but like, it seems hard to avoid.
Yeah. Well, there's so much even sports betting now.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Even now.
You can, online.
Yeah.
On your phone.
Oh, it's constant.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the apps.
And I know people that, I don't know if they call themselves gambling addicts, but because there's always a sport going on, you know, like.
Right. Oh no, he does all of it.
Doesn't matter what sport, you can just get on DraftKings or any of those and like.
And just make bets.
Yeah. I mean, if his phone gets turned off, he goes to the library. You know, because it's just right there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right? You can just get online there.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Log into your account.
He's getting the library computer to gamble.
Yeah, get on the computer. Yeah. Log into your account. And there you go. You're back. Yeah. You're set back up. I mean, or go to the Apple store. Like, really, anywhere that where you can get internet on a device, you're back in business. I don't. It was just, it's really hard. Yeah, gambling's rough. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what do you know what the statistics are for getting done with that or recovering from that?
Look it up.
You don't seem like a gambler.
I don't at all. Okay. You know what? I love Vegas and I think I used a slot machine once because
I could picture one.
My late husband was sort of like, come on, like you're in Vegas. You should just put a quarter in it or something. So I didn't. It was fine. I lost and it was whatever. I was like,
all of that money.
I lost all 25 cents. Right. I didn't like it one bit. I didn't like any of it. No, my personality is so anxious that would never work out for me. But
right.
What about you? Do you do like, I don't know, the sports stuff? Do you like it? The sports stuff or anything?
I don't really like the sports. I used to be into.
I know you're into football.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons I don't like to gamble with them. I just like watching the game. And if you start putting money on it, it just changes the whole like your experience of watching it, your feelings about the game, all that.
That's
stuff.
True.
And so, but I understand how appealing it can be to some
people. Oh my God. Yeah.
Like I remember I used to do a little Oregon lottery when I was like a chain smoker and I was smoking cigarettes and you could smoke in bars and I'd sit there and do that sometimes, but you can see how people get into it. Cause I remember this one woman who I'd always see it sitting there at the machine and like some nights I'd see her win like $600.
Right.
In a cup, like 20 minutes.
You.
But then 10 other nights, she'd lose that 6, same amount. 000. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So,
you know what's wild is how much the state plugs the lottery.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they make money off of it. I get it. Yeah, like,
and then
it's
they
revenue.
Build their parks or whatever they do with it.
I know, but it's like there's TV commercials about it, there's ads about it. I mean, it's pop ups. Play the lottery. I mean, it's a little.
I'll admit, I do like the scratch-its. Those are fun.
Yeah,
our little stocking stuffer.
Like that. Yeah, they like this. They like that as a stocking stuffer every Thanksgiving or whatever. And that's true. Yeah.
I also got to plug my, I'm sorry.
No, please.
I got to plug my podcast. E&J's Table of Truth.
Okay. I had no idea.
Is this
on check this out.
Where is this? On your YouTube?
It's on Instagram. We got it up on YouTube.
It's on video too? Or
yeah,
video.
Does it have its own channel that I should go to?
I love.
We do. We just did our first episode. What's that? Tuesday.
Okay.
And so that's being edited and everything nice. Now.
Oh, but, wow. Yeah. Okay. So tell me, how did you decide to do that? And what is the theme of your podcast?
So basically, my guy, Eric D. Franklin, he does a lot in the Salem community as well, just like the things that everything that mm-hmm. I do. He does a lot of entertainment. He's a studio engineer. Has his own studio out there, has his own boutique out there, him and his wife. He does videography as well. And we've been knowing each other for years. And so, like, we came together one day and was like, man, we should put together a podcast, you know, just talk about. Basically, we're talking about men's mental health. We're talking about a lot of problems and challenges that men have.
God, we need it.
Yeah.
I mean, it is so bad. There's all these articles coming out about it, especially now. It is really bad. It's just, it's sort of like right out of the gate it starts now or something. Like difficulty reading, difficulty in elementary school, difficulty right. through high school, like more likely to be arrested. 60% of women are in college. 60%.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be like the reverse of.
And it's getting
a woman in Alaska numbers are going or something. Up, yeah, yes, yeah. That's right. And joblessness, home. Look around here. I mean, everybody on the streets of Portland it's a man.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some sex work going on and there's a woman every once in a while, but in general, it's guys in tents and gutters and sidewalks.
Right.
Yeah, it's a
great. Like working age men.
Well, it's a great topic to.
Drugs,
hone in on, yeah.
Addiction.
Say, I'll tell you, I'll plug your pod on everything.
Oh my God,
that I can
yeah.
plug it on because that's, oh. I didn't even know you're doing that. That's all.
And men's mental health, that's so, I mean, your men are, I don't know, there's all this stuff coming out about how men are raised to be not emotionally in tune and, right. yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot in there for sure.
Yeah.
So are you two, so far, just sort of talking about these things, or are you going to have guests on?
We're going to have guests. So right now it was we're mainly introducing ourselves.
Yeah.
Getting people familiar with who we are. And then we'll come next month, start adding guests. And we already got a few guests lined up and things like that.
How did you decide to tackle those topics?
It's basically, we call it barbershop talk. You know, so like when we're in the studio or just hanging out talking, we already have those conversations. And it's like with the podcast era right now, like, well, we need to be capturing this, right?
I think there's such a need for that, especially in Portland, don't you? I mean, there's nobody focusing on things like that, I don't think.
Right.
Like you're really filling that vacuum and yeah. paying attention to something that I think is particularly hitting this city.
Yeah.
Especially with kids growing up and boys needing, I mean, some guidance and right. some, I don't know, Terrence Hayes talks about not having male role models, not having.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
I grew up without a dad, so I can totally.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and divorce rates are so high in the country that it's like a lot of kids need, yeah, male.
Leaders. Especially boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually have a FitCog meeting.
Oh, you do? Okay, you got to go. Okay, what else do we, anything else we need to know to wrap this up?
JUMABLAQ on all social media platforms. I've got some new music coming soon. Again, June 14th at Cook Park. We got the Juneteenth event going on at Cook Park. I haven't gotten the times yet, but follow me.
And I'll link to all your social media. And God bless your wife and your son for being here and going with you from meeting to meeting today.
Yeah, and just to recap, your podcast is coming out real soon.
Yes.
And then...
Your song.
Yeah, you said the mid-April for the...
Yep, April 15th.
Okay.
Thanks, Juma.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate both of you.
Appreciate you, too.
Cool Nuts, my boy Juma. Portland's definitely in the building. Matter of fact, we ain't in the building, we are the building. Let's get it.
I went and got the king of the city, but I'm not the prince. The reason why I did it, it would only make sense. I'm everywhere from MLK to Fezzedent. Help the Fairview sliding through your residence.
If you need a little help, then I'm who you get when everybody tripping.
I'm like the sixth man. I withstand with these bricks hand out like the pig's brick house. You can't knock me down.
Portland,
my town, and I'm proud to rep that. Catch me in the Drexler throwback. Oh, snap. My name buzzing. I'm all about my change, cousin. Remain focused, cause the hype really ain't nothing. I'm the voice of the city, best believe that. Every track I make them lean back. Attracted to where the cream at. Juma Black in the building. I'm back in the building now. Hello. I go hard from downtown to northeast. They ignore haters yapping. They don't want beef. Zone one, zone two, zone three is where you find me.
This is strictly for my city.
This is strictly for my city.
My city.
This is strictly for my town.
This is strictly for my city.
My city.
This is strictly for my town.
This is strictly for my city.
My city.
This is strictly for my town.
This is strictly for my city.
My city.
This is strictly for my town.
Northeast, I'm so northeast. My heart pumps Portland, these blocks in concrete. Curb hugging town, loving the pavement. I'm Prescott born, it's the land of the brave men.